Welcome to the One Prez Pod and Season 2 of You're Using It Wrong with me, Phil Blackburn, and my good friend Stephen Martin. During the month of May, we will talk about ways where Christianity in America might be slightly off track and how we think it might best be fixed. Join us. Well, hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the One Prez Pod. It's me, Phil Blackburn, and I'm here with
Stephen Martin. Hey, everybody.
Yeah, Stephen, if you're here, that means somebody is using something wrong.
That's right, and you can't see it, but I put up two thumbs because I'm super excited about this.
So this is series two for you and me doing You're Using It Wrong, and the first one, I think, it's about a year since we've done a series of this. So tell people what to expect if this is their first time with us in this scenario.
Right. So if this is your first time listening to us, what You're Using It Wrong is about is how people tend to throw out things on Facebook or you might not agree with, or sometimes they go against what Scripture says. And so we just want to bring that to the forefront of people's attention and just say, hey, look, you might be using this wrong. And hey, I use things wrong all the time. And the whole point of it is just bringing awareness to those things. So that way, when we talk about it with other people, we can use those terms correctly.
That's right. And so that's the idea. And there may be some lags in our recording because we should fully disclose. Yeah. There is a three-legged Labrador and a three-year-old in the room with us.
Those right things now are a lot of fun to watch. Doesn't do great for podcasting.
No. We should be videoing it. We're not. We apologize, everybody. You'll just have to use your imagination. There may be some lags in this as we attend to their various needs.
Right.
But anyway, all right. So who's using what wrong this week, Stephen? Where do you want to go with this?
Well, this one I think is a twofer.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Twofer the price of one.
Buckle up, everybody. So I believe in the book of Tupac, it says, only God can judge me, right? And so on the flip side of that, what I see a lot of people say in response to this is Christians are called to judge. So
first of all,
right?
Are we going with Tupac versus some Christians? Let's back up. Maybe some of the kids out there, Stephen, don't know who Tupac is. So back us up just a step.
All right.
The Book of Tupac.
Yeah.
Tell us, give us a little context.
So if you're not aware of who Tupac was, to fully disclose here, Phil, I was born in 1990.
Yeah.
So I had to learn some of this as well.
I lived through Tupac.
Being a very closeted Christian as a child. So Tupac famously said, only God can judge me, in response to some criticisms he was getting. And a lot of people use that incorrectly because they quote it like it's a scripture. Mm-hmm. Only God can judge me. Is that in the Bible?
Well, it's close.
Oh,
I mean, it's close.
I was not expecting this.
Yeah. So, if you think about the famous passage where it's like the speck in your eye versus the log in your neighbor's eye, it's like, "Do not judge, lest you be judged." It kind of disenfranchises our judgment. There are other passages in the New Testament where it talks about God as the judge. In fact, one that I'm preaching on Sunday from 1 Corinthians, but it's not necessarily a threat. Mm-hmm. You know, like we tend to think of judgment as a threat. So it's not really a threat in Scripture. So Tupac wasn't entirely wrong.
Okay.
You know, but he probably wasn't, in the way he was using it, entirely right either.
Gotcha.
So anyway.
Semi-following.
Yeah, that's right. So his spirit of what he was saying, I think if you contextualize it, maybe. Yeah. As a rapper, decent job there.
Oh, yeah.
Not the worst.
Yeah.
So, but then you mentioned there's an antithesis to this.
Right.
And what is that?
So people like to turn back on that phrase whenever somebody comments on a video or on a post. And they see somebody say, only God can judge me. And then they respond, Christians are called to judge. Mm-hmm. So if Tupac was kind of right there, then does that mean that that is kind of wrong, or are Christians called to judge others?
So What do you think? Before we get further on to this, like what? Because you saw this exchange and you saw it on social media.
Is that all the time.
Yeah. So, what's your knee jerk? What's your gut when you see something like that? Are you how do you feel?
So, growing up, it was always kind of an eye roll whenever somebody said, "Only God can judge me," because growing up, we were told that. Mm-hmm. It is our job as Christians to point out sins mm-hmm. because we don't want people going to hell. So looking from it from that vantage point, it is a responsibility. You don't want somebody to go to hell and you didn't mm-hmm. say anything, because then you have not only a soul that was damned to hell that you could have done something about, but now blood's on your hands as well. So the mindset of that, I understand, because that's what I grew up in. But now looking at it, it's hard, because I don't think that we can judge everyone and everything. Mm-hmm. It's not our responsibility mm-hmm. from as far as I'm concerned mm-hmm. and everything I've read. But I do know that there is some truth to it, to where your position being a pastor, I can't imagine like that. You see everything going on, and you just, it's your responsibility to sit back and say, "Well, hope they get it right."
Yeah. So, and I think this may be because I have 1 Corinthians on the brain, since I'm preaching it, teaching mm-hmm. it right now. But by and large, I think it's a good place for us to consider the role of judgment in mm-hmm. Scripture. That's a letter from Paul to a congregation, okay. And they're a mess,
yeah.
right?
Hey, Paul, a fan favorite too, right?
Yeah,
everybody loves him.
Yeah, they should. I feel so badly for Paul because he's so misunderstood. Anyway, Paul is writing to them, and he's pretty harsh in some of his critiques. Mm-hmm. They have a member of the church who is in a relationship with their stepmother.
Oh, wow!
It's not clear if their dad is dead or not, but the church hasn't done anything about this. And Paul's pretty upset because he views that as a pretty clear breach of ethical norms. Mm-hmm. I think most of us would have some questions.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Right.
If we had a friend who was in a romantic relationship with their stepmother. Yeah, and that's one of the things in that model where Paul's like, this is how you do it. First, you ask him to, like, two elders go and ask him to stop. I think this is the order. Two elders go and ask him to stop. If he doesn't ask, the congregation asks him to stop. If he still won't do it, then you kick him out. Mm-hmm. So you try to get him to stop.
Okay.
So this model's used for all sorts of things mm-hmm. That I don't think are necessarily a problem, but they use that way. Then later on, we're talking about communion on Sunday, and Paul talks about bringing judgment down upon yourself if you come to the table the wrong way.
Right.
What he's talking about specifically there, without spoiling the sermon, is the ways people were behaving at the table which were detrimental to the community.
Hmm.
A lot of the times when judgment is given to the congregation or to a congregation in the New Testament, it's because there's a behavior that would damage the community.
Okay.
Right. So, like, a good example may be if you have somebody in your church who's really a fairly hostile gossip, gotcha. Right?
Yeah.
That's not conducive to a strong, healthy community.
Right.
So, at some point, you may need to do something. Mm-hmm. You're not judging them in terms of their relationship with God, right? Like, you're not saying that this man is going to hell. You're not saying you're a horrible person. What you're saying is this behavior is detrimental to the life of the community. Mm-hmm. And for the church, that's the most important thing.
Right.
So our judgment, I think, in that sense, is valid.
Right.
In the same way it would be in a household.
Yeah.
Right?
I can see that.
You can have a misbehaving child. You can have the black sheep uncle. Mm-hmm. And as a family, you have to make some decisions about what role they're going to play in the household,
right?
And how they're going to be included in gatherings if they can't meet certain norms,
right?
And certain levels of behavior.
Yeah.
And if they can't, mm-hmm. then eventually decisions are going to be made about their inclusion.
Yeah.
All of us have dealt with this sort of thing in our lives.
Yeah.
It's the same thing in the church. Mm-hmm. What Jesus doesn't want us to do is to look at somebody and say, if you don't change, you're going to hell.
Right.
That puts us in the position of the judge. We're actually taking divine authority and bestowing it on ourselves, which I think is why I wouldn't say Tupac's entirely wrong.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
Because it's like, if somebody's like, Tupac, you bad. Mm-hmm. And Tupac's like, only God can judge me. Like, on the other hand, though, this may be where people react. You don't want to use that as a permission structure for everything,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You can't tell me what to do. Like, if you've got the bat, the black sheep uncle and you go, listen, you can't keep showing up to family events drunk.
Right.
It's destructive.
Mm-hmm.
And the uncle's like, only God can judge me. That's right. But we can still exclude you from this community.
Okay. So,
right.
I see where you're coming from. Well, and to... I'm really bad about going down rabbit holes, especially on Twitter. And I just need to take it off my phone.
Yeah.
Right. But I saw the other day, I saw a quote unquote pastor. So I didn't delve too much into who he is or anything, but I saw somebody who said that they were ordained and that every response somebody had to this post was just saying repent and was like pulling things from these people's profiles and saying, well, you look like you're X, Y, and Z, so you should repent. Mm-hmm. Just like based on what their profile picture was, based on anything and everything. And it almost came across more as being very judgmental.
Yeah.
Just you know, the book cover judgmental rather than any form of trying to be helpful or be loving. So I bring that up, one, because it was driving me crazy looking through all of this. And two, I think this is where people get pushed away from the church a lot of times, is because people take what you're saying, where we have to say, look, this isn't good for the body. This isn't good for the community. And then they use that as a way to say, you are doing this. I don't think it is, it's something that the Bible stands for. And then shout, repent. So,
yeah.
How do we deal with other Christians, I think is what I'm trying to get at. Yeah, I get how somebody showing up drunk to a family function isn't good. If you've addressed that and they're trying to handle it, or that's in the past a lot of times. People love to drag up past stuff and just shove it in people's faces. How can people move away from that when people are constantly bringing it up? Or if, like you said, somebody's a terrible gossip and they're just running their mouth about something, and how do you address another Christian and tell them, look, you're making things way worse? Because that seems to be, to me, probably the biggest issue, more than what these people are getting upset about.
Right. That's typically the thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like there's lots of destructive, sinful behaviors that aren't addressed.
Yeah.
Because the people practicing those behaviors are in positions of power in a church or in kind of a secured situation in the church where no one's going to say anything to them.
Right.
But it's difficult. I you know, for Presbyterians, like we have in all of our worship services a prayer of confession at the beginning of the service where we like confess our sin.
Right.
I think that's important. And I think it's important to do it as a group corporately because it's a reminder that, wait a minute, like,
We're all flawed.
Here,
right.
You know? And to me, if you start from that perspective, like, I am a sinful person. I make mistakes. I do the wrong thing. I make bad choices. I hurt people. Then it helps me oftentimes to give grace.
Okay.
And that's a good thing, right? Like, we want that in the church. You don't want to have an anything goes. It's tough, right? Because you don't want to create an anything goes environment. If people are part of the Christian faith, you can't just do whatever you want.
Right.
Like, that's tough to hear. But it's like, it's not a libertarian organization.
Yeah.
And so you can't just do anything you want
mm-hmm.
and then just say, grace.
Right.
But on the other hand, you don't want to create a community that is overtly judgmental and hostile,
right,
to people and putting themselves in a position of the judge. Mm-hmm. We ain't the judge.
Yeah.
So, like a lot of things in faith, it's gray, and it's a lot harder to live in the gray.
Oh yeah.
Than it is to live in the black and white.
Yeah.
And
give me a list of rules, man.
Right. Like if we as a community just say, listen, these are the sins we're going to care about.
Yeah.
Premarital sex,
mm-hmm.
drinking, dancing, yeah. abortion.
That's it.
Homosexuality.
Right.
You do one of those, you're out. Everything else,
yeah.
But understand what you've done there.
Mm-hmm.
You've created an arbitrary list
right.
of sins and ignored a lot of the other ones.
Right.
Like, that's fine. You can draw that line. You can be black and white on those issues. But just understand what you're doing there.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is one of the things you react against.
Yeah.
When you see.
Oh, yeah.
And anyway, I mean, standing up, yelling at people to repent. Jesus said that. First words of the Gospel of Mark, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is drawn near. But again, we're not Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and we repent. It's not about you repenting. It's
right.
we do it. Like, it has to be relational. It has to be communal. It has to, in my mind, it's not a great plan on the street corner.
Oh, I agree.
But the street corner does not lend itself to gray, right? Like,
no.
It's like the street corner does not lend itself to, you know, ifs and buts.
Right. Well, and I know that another, it's kind of still on topic, but I feel it's still a rabbit trail. That drives me bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
If people are trying to reach others by yelling at them and holding up a sign that says you're going to hell,
mm-hmm.
and then they're like, I don't know why people don't want to come to church.
Right.
Huh. I wonder.
Right.
I wonder. Like, if whoever's listening, maybe I shouldn't just say, talk to me. Because
mm-hmm.
those don't seem like the people
I really
want to get into a conversation
yeah.
with. But still, I don't get the mindset. And it seems more like I'm trying to make myself feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of bettering other people.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what some people are forgetting about what Jesus did.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And what, honestly, what drew me to the church that we attend now with
mm-hmm.
you and Pastor Tasha is I see community building. And I see community, people out helping.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got somebody who's on another podcast with you, Ram, who talks about loving Fort Smith out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is what we all should be aspiring to, not only as members of our community, but as Christians,
mm-hmm.
building each other up. Mm-hmm. If somebody is struggling, to me that doesn't mean kick them out of the church. Those are the people that need to be in church.
Yeah,
those
right.
are the people that need to mm-hmm. be comforted and drawn closer to.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, I feel like we do the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we do that a lot in church. And, you know, I don't know that it's from malice. We're people. We're not very good at this.
Right.
Like, Nadia Bolz-Weber, who's a famous Lutheran pastor, in her church when she was working in Denver, and people would join the church, she would say, the first thing you need to know
mm-hmm.
is that we're going to disappoint you.
Okay.
And I was like, yeah, that's a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're going to get stuff wrong. I think what you're saying, Stephen, is like, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to do it wrong. But let's try mm-hmm. not to do it in a way that makes people feel worse about themselves.
Right.
Or feel like they can't be a part
yeah.
of any church because of what they've heard.
Right.
Like, let's not do that. Can yeah. we just not do that?
Yes.
Like, we're all going to, like we've been saying the whole podcast, we're going to hurt people's feelings. We're going to say the wrong thing. We're going to step
oh, yeah.
right in it. We're going to do all sorts of stuff. We're going to make bad decisions, selfish decisions. But can we just not go that far?
Right.
Can we just stop there? So, yes, church will disappoint you.
Okay.
It is inevitable. But hopefully, like all good, close relationships, we'll be able to get through it.
I like it.
Yeah.
Well, that makes me feel good.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
How about that? All right. Well, we're going to be doing this all month. Stephen, any teasers of where we're headed?
Oh, all right. I've got a few more questions for you this coming month. I can't tell you them.
Okay.
Because they're not all ironed out yet.
Yep.
Just new things keep coming to me.
That's right.
And I keep thinking, man.
The Twitter keeps updating.
People keep using this wrong.
That's right.
Or I use something wrong.
Right. Maybe we should have one of those
podcasts.
Phil and Steven use it wrong. Anyway, hey, thanks everybody for listening. Be sure to like and subscribe to this podcast, wherever you find it. Comment. Send us questions if you want on the church's Facebook page. But anyway, thanks for listening. Steven, thanks.
Yeah, thank you.
Reagan, good job.
She's in the zone.
She's in the zone. Peace, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the One Prez Pod. Please like and subscribe to the One Prez Pod wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us comments and follow us on social media at First Presbyterian Church's Facebook account. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, peace.